This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Adam Blattenberg from Diesel World.
Hi, this is Dan, owner of Dan's Diesel Performance.
I'm Christian Roth of BD Diesel.
I'm Braden Fleece, and you're listening to the Diesel Podcast.
What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. Today I'm going to be joined by JT. He listens to the Diesel Podcast. He's a member on our Discord, which you're going to see a link on the screen. Also one down below to join. It's a great place to be able to chat about your Cummins, Duramax, Powerstroke. A lot of great information and builds you guys are working on there. But I wanted to chat with him about his process of buying his first diesel truck, what he was looking for, the way that he would use it, what kind of goals that he had for it to be able to, you know, meet his lifestyle and his needs. So it's going to be great to be able to chat with him and hopefully help, you know, one of you guys out there that is looking into getting your first diesel truck and you're looking at different year ranges, different brands, and trying to figure out, you know, what would be best for you guys. So it's going to be a great conversation. Before we get to it, though, I want to let you guys know you can get 20% off of Kershaw Knives. We've had them on the podcast, chatted with them before. They've got something for every budget, whether it's, you know, everyday carry, hunting, outdoors, fishing, tons of different things. If you use code DIESEL20 at kershaw.kiausa.com, you get 20% off site-wide. And it's a great way to kind of offset, increased costs and things that are going on out there. And who doesn't love, you know, EDC, hunting, fishing, outdoor gear? So make sure to take advantage of that. You'll find a link down below, also on our sponsor page as well. You can click right over and you can search by, you know, different types of opening mechanisms, different types of blade material, tons of different things. So it's a great website. I spend a lot of time on there and got some additions to my gear collection. So make sure you take advantage of that. All right, let's get to today's podcast with JT and chatting about his process of, you know, finding his first diesel truck, what he was looking for, and how he's liked owning it so far. JT, welcome to the Diesel Podcast. I'm excited to be able to chat with you today. I appreciate you sending me a DM on our Discord to be able to, you know, share your story with your first diesel truck and owning an LML. And I always love being able to help people out there that are listening, and they may not have a diesel truck. They don't necessarily know what brand they want, kind of what year range, and being able to chat with, you know, someone who owns one like yourself and see what led you there and what you like about the truck will definitely be helpful. So I appreciate your time today.
Yep, no problem. Love being here.
Tell me a little bit about, your passion for trucks. We chatted a little bit about before the podcast about, you know, you love, you know, engines and going fast and different things, but what got you into, you know, pickup trucks? Was it necessity or was it, you know, just a passion or, you know, a little bit of both?
I'd say a little bit of both. Initially I started out, mostly into rear wheel drive Toyotas from the mid 80s to late 90s. Some of the Nissans, the RX-7, I love that. It's a great car. Primarily into cars that you can take to track and race. And then my first truck, I actually bought it was a 74 C20 single cab long bed, baby blue and rust, a 350 with a turbo 350 transmission. Probably the best $200 I've ever spent. And that just kind of, you know, having the utility to be able to carry stuff around, you know, it had an 8-foot bed. I was carrying around, a couple slabs of marble for the business I was working for at the time in high school. We were renovating the new location, and, you know, just having that utility, I was like, man, you know, this is pretty cool. I like the idea of not being restricted to a trunk. And then, when I was 18, I joined the Army, and I've been doing that for the last 15 years. And again, having that utility, I can just load up my truck with whatever gear that I need to, you know, go to work and not have to worry about the space. So it's been a big utility thing. But on top of that, every few years I move because of work, and I need to be able to tow a trailer that's got my entire life in it. So, I initially started out with an 04 Sierra. It had a 5.3 in it. Great little truck. You can't say anything bad about a Chevy small block. I mean, those LSs are just I think it's LM or something like that. But they're great engines. But at a certain point, I realized it wasn't quite enough. And that was on one of my longer moves from Minnesota down to Texas. But I'd taken a detour into Oregon to drop off one of my animals with my mom. So going through Montana, I hit a mountain that attacking speedo. I got it floored and it stays like this going over the entire thing. Oh, that's kind of not good. And then getting down to Raton Pass on the border of Colorado, New Mexico. I was telling you earlier that floored it and tack and speedo are doing this, and the speedo starts dropping down, and it's just it's like, man, I have to get to something bigger. And then fast forward a few years later, it's 2020. I'm driving up to work, and I literally drove the truck until one of the wheels came off, and obviously had to replace my pickup. And I opted for I really wanted a diesel, so I was kind of looking around at those, but I wasn't quite sure which one I'd go with, or maybe I could get it with a gas engine. I wasn't sure. It kind of depended on what I could find. I started looking, did some research, listened to a lot of podcasts to include this one. And then based on, stuff that I've been told from, a family member of mine that owned a parts store, who was coming in the most for parts, it kind of scared me away from Ford a little bit. And he'd recommend, he's like, hey, get a Duramax. If you can't find one of those, get yourself a Cummins. I kept looking, kept doing more research, and I kind of landed on the MML because of the injectors, I think it's PZO injectors, where you can have multiple injection events in the same cycle. And that kind of piqued my interest. I was like, this sounds pretty cool. And I looked at the 15, I was like, man, this is a really nice body style. Yeah. It's new enough that I don't really have to worry about a lot of maintenance issues yet. But it's old enough that I'm not going to, pay an arm and a leg for it. Went through a hell of a process actually finding the one that I bought, but I ended up landing on an LML from a place called Diesel of Houston. I think I drove out 3 or 4 hours there, and he tossed me the keys. He's like, hey, this is where you're gonna want to go on the test drive. And I was like, you're not coming? And he's like, no, I trust you. And I was like, all right, cool. And I opened up the door, and it was just like, yeah, I just knew. It's like, you find that one, you're like, yeah, this is the woman I want to be with the rest of my life. And I opened up the truck and was like, this is it. I'm not going to build it as a race truck or anything like that. I've got my Chevelle that I'm going to be hopefully putting on the drag strip once I get it rewired. So there's no reason for me to abuse it like that, but I do need it to be able to tow my car, and I do need to be able to move with it. So that's kind of how I landed on that, and kind of gave me the direction that I'm going in with it.
It's a really important insight, because I've experienced that, myself when I was younger. Then I was in college and I lived in California, and I graduated, got a job, and out there there are diesels, but at that age it was more so, a 5.3 Chevy or 5.4 Ford, or the Hemi was out, and they were fine there. But I remember driving to Colorado, and once you start hitting that elevation, like you mentioned, you start to floor it and you're not really going anywhere. And you see these diesel trucks that are just, going up I-70, going over Eisenhower, some of the passes that you mentioned, and you really start to, I started to think, well, if I'm going to live in this area or travel across it, I don't want to have to, go 40 miles an hour up the pass or something like that. So I need to think, kind of outside the box. So I can definitely see, how that fit together. And, with the way you mentioned using the truck, I think that's how the majority of people use them. I think, yes, I like the power. I like the 3,000 horsepower. I like the, 2,000, 2,500. But we're really needing these to fulfill a niche that we have, whether it's towing a fifth wheel, using it for work, or like you're moving and you need to be able to reliably tow, everything to go to a different location. So I think that's really going to, hit with a lot of people. Now, as far as with the truck itself, when you got it, was it in great shape? Was it maintained, or did you have to do anything with it, or, go through maintenance or anything like that?
So initially when I bought it, I was in what I affectionately call the 24% club, where the def level always says 24%, doesn't go up, doesn't go down, doesn't matter how much you put in there. It just says 24%. The best I can figure is that it was the something with the batteries, like there wasn't enough voltage or something like that. I don't know. I let the factory smoke out of one, because I recharged it too many times, with a wall charger. But I got a couple of Optimus put in there, and that fixed that. I had problems with sometimes when I'd start it, like the speakers wouldn't work. So like the dash indicator for when you're turning, or the radio and stuff like that, there wouldn't be any sound. Well, when I swapped out the batteries, that fixed that. Really the only other thing initially that I had was something with the, it says like service, the trailer brake, service trailer brake. I haven't quite nailed that one down yet. And that's, you know, part of a system that I'm not really familiar with. I'm betting it's probably a ground somewhere, cause that's typically, at least in my experience and, you know, my life working on diesels and, you know, gas engines, typically it's a ground is the first thing. And it's, my truck's an old fleet truck. It had been in for maintenance every 3 months. But with where they're using it and what they're doing, I can completely see the ground just getting all gross and not making that connection.
One of the things I found kind of with the LML and that kind of year range is somebody was asking me recently, hey, I'm in the market for a truck, not a new one. I don't want to step back to, you know, an LB7 or something 20 years old. What should I look at when I think of that, you know, 2010 to 15 year range, not with any brand loyalty, just looking at, you know, what was offered. The LML is really hard to beat with, you know, the power, the refinement. They always have ridden really nice. They have an Allison 6-speed, and some of the other brands with issues with like a 68 RFE or some of the 674 turbo issues early on that they had. I think that's why it pulls a lot of people in when they don't have that brand loyalty, but they want the performance and the comfort and all those things. So I know it's a question I get all the time, and why I was really excited to chat with you today is, you know, just to see, you know, what your impressions are with it. Is it, you know, has it met your expectations as a first time diesel owner and what you're asking it to do, you know, daily driving, hauling, economy, you know, passing power, things like that?
Oh yeah. It's, I've driven up to Oregon from Louisiana a couple times now in it, made a couple trips out to Georgia for work, and it's just, it's a beast. I mean, I haven't towed with it yet, but as far as passing people, it's, you know, I would like the throttle to be a little bit more responsive, but I have no complaints with it as far as performance. It's been a solid truck. You know, I pack up, I got, you know, my wife, two kids and two dogs, and, you know, we can fit them all in there and everything we're going to need for, you know, a couple of weeks on vacation. And it just, it's been everything I've wanted. I guess we'll see. We're moving up to Alaska in a couple months, and I guess we'll see how it does, you know, driving up there. But, I'm not worried about anything beyond, you know, typical maintenance.
What's so cool about it though is there's little things you could do if you wanted to, you know, with throttle response or just minor things to just, you know, make small improvements. You don't have to invest a ton into, like you had mentioned, you have a car that you're going to be racing. And I think that's kind of where I've seen not necessarily a split, but a refocus. I think is enthusiasts of any types, you know, of automobiles like to go fast or, you know, make good power. And it's kind of that separation of the two where you need this truck to run every day, be reliable. You have this car you're going to take to the track or have fun with. And if it breaks something, it's not going to be fun, but you're not out a daily driver or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly, ironically, that's why I bought my Chevelle. I wanted a second car because my Sierra was getting a little bit older. And then I ended up buying something that not reliable. but yeah, no, I mean, if I'm going to be beaten on something, I don't want it to be my daily driver. So it ended up working out really well.
With, you know, any future upgrades you might have, not necessarily related to power, but just like, you know, aesthetics, or you had mentioned something to me about, a seat set up in the back or something, you know, with two dogs and things like that, which always interests me because, you know, the year truck you have, it's probably my favorite body style of Chevy or GM truck. And you have a truck, you want to go places, people want to go with you. And it's like, well, how do I keep the back seat kind of organized or clean, or how do I, you know, keep it nice?
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Yeah, so I ended up, you're going to pay a price for it, but it 100% worth it, in my opinion. I got the Carhartt branded Covercraft seats, the custom fit ones. And then I ended up I got those through Covercraft, and then I bought, the door panel covers through a Chevy dealership here. They're not waterproof, but water beads right off it. You know, you can spill something and just like knock it off the seat. It's not a big deal. It's a little bit of a pain to install in the rear. Excuse me, especially if you've never pulled the rear seats out, because that's basically what you have to do. You got to unbolt it and then, you know, pop it out of the back, and then you know, get everything installed and then get put it back in. Some of the trucks, there's like a latch that you can reach down at the hook and pull it. Mine doesn't have that, so it's like this rubber deal that, like, I don't know. There's a you know, bracket like that, and the rubber deal like sits over top of it. So it's kind of a pain to get that out, but it's worth it. I mean, I don't have to worry about, you know, my kids making a mess back there and ruining my seats, or, you know, the dogs. And the big thing for me was, actually the driver's seat, because of how dirty I get at work. And then, you know, working on a vehicle, you know, you climb out from under it, like, well, now I got to go test drive it, and I don't want to go shower and then get in and then get dirty again. If I have to fix something, you know, I can sit in the front seat all greasy and grimy, and it's not a big deal. And I do not regret getting those seat covers. They're fantastic. As far as other stuff, really, I just kind of want to build it for dependability, and longevity. I want it to last as long as possible. I don't, especially with the new Allison, that's an Allison, you know, that kind of something about that just rubs me the wrong way. And I want to keep this truck as long as possible. One of the things that I've actually got a PPE oil pan for it, because in the GM engineer's infinite wisdom decided to put an oil pan in there that holds on to a half quart of dirty oil every oil change. You know, with my gas small block, I wouldn't care. A big deal. You know, I ran it, I think it was like 15 or 20,000 miles. So it was well past due needing an oil change. Spent 9 months sitting, and then I drove it another 5,000 miles, and I was like, oh, let's add a quart of oil. No big deal. But, you know, with force induction, you got to be a lot more careful about that. You don't want dirty oil going through your turbo. So that's definitely something, like I said, I've got the oil pan. I'm just waiting for the end of this oil change cycle before I pop it in there. But the fuel system saver, I think Xtergy makes, I'm looking at that. I'm looking at a lift pump. I actually need to do my ball joints and shocks. I wasn't planning on leveling my truck, but Kryptonite sells a leveling kit for a really good price. Everything's, you know, lifetime warranty. So as parts start going bad and I have to replace them, I'm going to be putting in better stuff. You know, instead of making that big investment all at once, I'll be, you know, kind of offsetting a little bit because I needed to do it anyway. And honestly, that's, it's a good way to pitch it to my wife. Like, hey, I need to spend, you know, a grand or two on parts for my truck. Like, why would you do that? Well, I got to fix it anyway. I want to put something better in. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, something that'll last longer, and you know, you'll be spending less money in the long run.
Well, the aftermarket's so deep for it as well, with, you know, things you may want to do with suspension or just little things like that. It's a really awesome platform to get into. You know, to be able to have those options, and there's a lot of great companies out there that make awesome parts to be able to, like, just do exactly what you said. Something fails, you can upgrade it with something better, and keep on going. But you're not, you know, necessarily forced to do it, you know, right away. I can say I wish they had those seat covers when I was a kid, because sitting in the back of my dad's Power Stroke, there was no water, no candy, anything spilled. You didn't want to spill anything back there. So that definitely would have made road trips a lot more fun when I was younger.
Yeah. Yeah. And my daughter's at that age, she's throwing everything and stuff spills, and I'm just like, so yeah, no worries there.
We were chatting a little bit about the podcast, and we get questions from time to time about the 6.5, and I did an episode not too long ago with a guy here in Colorado that's been building them. But I wanted to ask you about, in, you know, your job and, you know, in the Army and that platform, you know, what is it like? Is it received really well? Is it, you know, what are your thoughts about it in the vehicles that are running that 6.5?
So I actually live essentially out of Humvee, about 2 weeks out of most months, and mine has a 6.5. I know there's a, depending on, you know, what year the truck was built, it's going to have a different engine in it, may or may not be turboed. For most people, like doing my job, they don't care. It's what we have. It's what we have to use. It's just, there's no second thoughts about it. But I actually really like it. It's been really dependable, and, you know, driving it over the last 3 years, the same truck almost every month. You know, I had a problem where the injector pump went out, and, you know, I called up maintenance. They came and towed it back, and I got it back the next day. But that, I think I had a problem with the voltage regulator. They came out and swapped that out. But the only other thing that I've had a problem with was like a freak accident where a rock bounced up and got in a throttle linkage and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't give it any, just didn't want to go anywhere. But no, it's been a super dependable rig. I love it. It's a little gutless sometimes when you're, you know, little lips in the terrain that you're trying to drive over, maybe like a log that's down. But you know, with those 35 inch tires that are like way up, I mean, there's nothing in front of them. You know, whatever you're driving into, if it's low enough, you're hitting the tires first. You know, and other than occasionally wanting a little bit more power out of it, it's been fantastic. I love that thing. Super dependable. Just, you know, and this isn't like pavement driving, you know. Yeah. this is off road most of the time. And it's just been, it just keeps coming back for more. And it's a lot of fun zipping around on gravel roads with, maybe it's a platform, maybe it's, I don't know. I can't tell you what exactly is so special about it, but it's been a lot of fun driving that truck and I'm really going to miss it. It's the first time I've had that to say about a military vehicle too.
As far as the maintenance on it, is it something that there's almost a specific schedule that it hits where, you know, there's parts or things that are being replaced to keep it that reliable? Or is it, I'm sure it's a combination of, you know, maybe both, where it's a very stout design, a lot of engineering put into it, you know, encompassed around the vehicle. But I'm just curious about the maintenance side of it. If it's more strenuous than say your Duramax is or another diesel truck, or, you know, what makes them so reliable in that application?
So in a normal unit, you're going to do maintenance a lot more. You know, every Monday you're going to be out there looking at, you know, whatever platform you're on, be it a, you know, truck or a tank or, you know, whatever, you're going to be doing maintenance on it, preventative maintenance. But with the unit that I'm in and how it's set up and what our job entails, we don't do any of the maintenance. I mean, we're supposed to check it, you know, like check the fluid levels and stuff like that. Whether or not that happens is, you know, another story, but it's pretty much if something breaks, it gets fixed, you know. And it's, you know, occasionally we'll bring them in for inspections where the, again, a, you know, a difference for my unit compared to most, we have civilians that do all the maintenance. They'll pull it in for a tech inspection or whatever, and they'll go through everything. I'm like, yeah, you know, it needs, new blinkers or, you know, whatever it is. And they'll get it and get it fixed. But for the most part, it's just been I think it's just dependability. I don't know if it's, they engineered them better for the military. I know the new JLTV, I think it is, has an LML and then the new Duramax in it, paired with Allison. It's been tuned up by Banks, but it's still, you know, that those have been improved, you know, upon what you'd see in a, you know, run of the mill Duramax on the road. But I think these 6.5s are just, they're just like out of the box factory 6.5s.
It's really interesting because I miss that part of diesel performance. I was way too young. You know, I know Banks had a turbo kit for him and some other things, and I've never really been around him. So I've always been interested in just learning a little bit more, you know, as far as whether it's in the pickup trucks or in the vehicles that you're using. Because I know it definitely has a cult following. I know there's people out there that love the thing, and, you know.
I can see why. You know, it wouldn't be my first choice, not for a daily driver, but if it was just for something I'm running around the woods in, or like, I don't wear a tinfoil hat or anything like that, but like if it was like something crazy happened in the world, you know, yeah. I'd take one of those, or a, you know, 7.3.
Definitely. Yeah. Those older ones are just so, and one of the things I've always struggled with is, you know, with the new trucks, it's this horsepower torque war. It's going back and forth. How much power does it make? And I think back to like a 94 12 valve and 160, 180 horsepower. And like those did the job then, but we're so hungry for the power. Where these older trucks just, you know, they can have just the simplicity. And yeah, you know, they might not have, you know, the best power and torque numbers, but, you know, you're getting that reliability out of them. And I think that's kind of where it ties in, you know, with that.
I mean, burn me as a heretic, but I, you know, the numbers that you're putting down on the dyno or whatever, that's not, to me, I don't think it's all that important unless that's specifically what you're doing. Yeah. You know, like I'm not going to, you know, be in the parking lot and a guy comes over and we start talking about trucks. Well, mine's better because it, you know, it's got this much horsepower. Like, what are you doing with it, man? If you're just driving to the mall, like who cares? You know, it's to me, it's all about it serving the purpose that you're using it for. And I think, like, I would never hot rod a 6.5. Maybe you can. I haven't looked into it, but for what I want it to do, it does it. It doesn't ask questions.
I know that there's going to be somebody listening that says, hey, I've been looking at LML trucks, and I don't know where to start. They're not necessarily, you know, an enthusiast to spend a lot of time around it. But in owning one for the time that you have, if you were to advise somebody before they purchase for some things to look for, maybe, you know, it's researching, you know, the VIN, the ownership, you know, checking out some different things. What would you tell somebody to look out for before they purchase one?
I would definitely look to see who's owned it beforehand. That was one of the things that kind of, I don't want to say put me at ease, because like I said, I opened up the door and I was like, this is the one. But knowing that it was a fleet truck and getting to see its maintenance schedule and what it was going in for, you know, that gave me some peace of mind. You know, or, you know, as I was looking at other trucks from private sellers, looking at you know, older couples that were like, hey, you know, we just bought a new one, don't need this anymore, and this is what we did with it. You know, the chances are pretty good they're not going to be out hot rodding it and stuff like that. And there's probably going to be less problems with it. But that's one of the first things I look at. And the next thing is the emission system. The first LML I went to look at, and the one that I drove to Houston specifically for, because I thought I was going to be driving it home. I opened it up. It smelled like mildew, which is kind of the first thing. I was like, oh man, it's probably a flood truck. I don't think I want this. But then I popped the hood and I was like, wait a second, there's some stuff missing here. And there's a nice shiny plate where, you know, there should be some other parts. I was like, this has been deleted. And then I looked at the def fill tube and that had been cut. And I was like, yeah, I'm not buying this. You guys didn't tell me anything about it. Truck smells bad. Like, this ain't happening. Yeah. Come to find out that it's illegal for, I don't know if it's federally or if it's just in Texas, but it's illegal for dealers to sell deleted trucks. And that was a big red flag for me too. Like if the way I see it with a lot of vehicles is, like, if I'm going to be doing some, like, you know, kooky stuff to it, I want to be the one that's done it and not having somebody else having, you know, torn stuff out or like done some weird wiring. And yeah, my car is 100% that, like, there's awful stuff done to that car that I'm now having to go back and fix. And it, you know, I just want something that's stock that I can mess with. And, you know, I can be the one, if something bad happens, it's because of me, not because I, you know, bought a crappy truck.
That's a really good point, because a lot of times when people, you know, they find the Diesel Podcast, they email us or something like that, and you know, I can tell somebody's really excited because they wanted this particular year range truck, and they say, hey, I found one local. It's got this turbo kit, you know, this transmission, you know, all these things going on. What do you think? And just personally, my first thought is, I don't necessarily know, unless I personally know who did it, who did the work. Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know if I want to jump into that, because I've seen it just be a nightmare so many times and cost so much money trying to figure that out, where I'd rather find, like you mentioned, you know, a fleet truck where, you know, you can tell by how it looks what kind of fleet truck it was. You can see the maintenance on it, or, you know, somebody just used it to tow a fifth wheel two or three times a year and it's set, you know, in a garage. I think it adds to the peace of mind of that purchase.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, with driving up to Alaska, there's going to be a lot of passage you go over. So you're definitely going to be able to test out, you know, how it handles, you know, compared to the 5.3 that you have. I know there's a huge, you know, kind of diesel community, diesel, you know, there's a lot of stuff in Alaska. I have a couple friends who live up there that are really into them. So I'm sure, you know, as far as being able to find shops or different things, you know, I know there's a great racetrack up there that I've seen. I'm not sure what particular city it's outside of, but I'm sure that'll be able to, you know, put it to the test. And hopefully on Discord, once you get up there, let us know how the truck did, you know, on that drive, and just what your thoughts are, you know, going through, you know, from sea level to however many feet above sea level that you go to.
Well, on top of that, I'm going to have to prep. So my wife's actually got a Duramax as well. She's got a 22 half ton. So it's got the 3 liter, which I absolutely love. That truck, it's great. I have to prep them both for essentially Arctic weather, you know, with it getting, you know, 30, 40 below at times, where we're going to be anyway. You know, I'm going to have to prep them, and I have to look at even small stuff like grease that I'm using, whether or not it's suited for that kind of weather. So it's going to be a big learning curve. But I'm looking forward to it. I like tinkering with stuff. So, Yeah, definitely looking forward to that trip and seeing what my truck can do finally.
If you had to compare, I just thought of this. If you had to compare your truck to the half ton, what do you like better about the half ton, if anything, or how would you compare the two? Because a lot of people get stuck in that as well. Where do I need a 3/4 1 ton, or can I do this half ton diesel? Which would I be happier with?
So, she actually wants a full size Duramax at some point. But we don't need one. And with what we're going to be towing, she's going to be towing my car up to Portland, or not Portland, but the Portland area. I'm not from Portland, by the way, just got to put that out there. but she's going to be towing the car. We're going to leave the car there and then we're going to continue on. But I'm thinking she's going to have less weight to deal with, based on what we're packing. So that was kind of a consideration. Like, what are we actually going to be using it for? Do we need that second full size right now?
Yeah.
Fuel costs. But as far as like the difference in what I've noticed between the two, like the half ton's pretty zippy. Like it's a peppy little truck. It's a lot closer to what my old 5.3 was, as where, you know, my full size one, like I know I have all the faith in the world it's going to do what I ask of it, but it's huge. It doesn't, I mean, like parking for that thing, like if you ever tried to drive a full size truck into a Sonic, like it's a pain.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's smaller. So like I said, you know, better parking, it's, I think it might be faster. I don't know. I haven't really like timed it or anything like that, but it's a peppy little truck. I think a better daily driver, but if you're not going to be towing something that's huge, I think it's an awesome alternative to a full size truck. Especially with the mileage that thing gets. And mine's a work truck, so it's like the base model, as where hers is it's like an RST or something like that, so it's got a lot, you know, more of the creature comforts. It's got heated seats and stuff like that that's going to come in handy in Alaska. And it's, I think that the new one, I was reading the manual, like who does that? apparently you don't have to do a lot with it until it reaches 0 degrees Fahrenheit, because there's some, it opens and closes different coolant passages and stuff like that, so the engine can retain, you know, more heat. I think it was saying specifically you don't need the grill cover like I'm going to need on mine until it gets down that low, and I thought that was really cool. Or maybe it might have been the block heater that it was saying you don't need to use. I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look again, but yeah, I mean, you know, bottom line, if you're not towing something huge, I think it's a great alternative to getting something big.
I wish that trend would continue. I know GM has the offering, Ram does as well. I think Ford stopped with theirs, but
yeah,
you know, not everybody has a need for a 3/4 or 1 ton, but you want the torque and the economy of, you know, of a diesel engine. So hopefully they continue to, you know, be out there and maybe be offering more things. But, yeah, like I said, I appreciate you reaching out to us.
Yeah, for sure.
And a lot of the value you provide, you know, on Discord with, you know, helping people, asking questions. It's really cool to just to learn. You know, there's a lot I don't know. I don't necessarily own one of these trucks or I'm not doing this particular build, but there's so many really great stories, a lot of information on there. And I know somebody's going to be listening. They're in that market. They're, you know, not looking at an L5P or an LMM. They want an LML. And being able to hear from, you know, your story, what you like about the truck, the way that it helps, you know, fit your lifestyle and how you use it, is going to help somebody make an educated decision out there. So I appreciate your time today, JT, and look forward to hearing how you like the trip, you know, from Louisiana up to Alaska.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to kershaw.kiausa.com. Use code DIESEL20. You get 20% off site-wide. And there's so many products, so many cool things on there. You know, whether you need something for EDC, hunting, fishing, outdoors, they've got it for you there. And it's a super easy process to order. I've done it on their site before. So, you know, you get tracking. You can search for tons of different things based on, you know, what type of opening mechanism it has, blade material, colors, different uses that you may need it for. So it's an awesome place. Also want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters. You guys help us continue to grow, continue to do, you know, better things with our audio, video, be able to enhance the kind of content that we bring you guys. Texas Diesel Supply, Wright's Diesel Services, Caleb, Tyler Lowen, a 23 Diesel. We appreciate your support. All of our Patreons, all of you guys who subscribe on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, those of you that are on our Discord, sharing your stories, asking questions, helping people out if something's, you know, not working right on their Cummins Duramax Power Stroke. There's a lot of great information, you know, and experience, and it's awesome to see, you know, diesel enthusiasts helping diesel enthusiasts. So we wanted to thank you guys for that, supporting us for 6 years. Can't believe we're coming up on seven. We wouldn't be able to do this without you guys, your passion, your excitement for your trucks and the diesel community in general. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.